Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. This is the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live here in the Kia studios for the first time all together in a while. Yeah, Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, myself, Tiffany Blackman, holding it down here on the Morning Shift. So happy New Year, gentlemen.
2025, man. Can you believe that?
It's crazy.
Oh, that like...
This sounds weird.
That one hurts.
Have flying cars.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm sure there are somewhere, right? just not really accessible to us. I'm sure somebody in New York City's got a little one-man drone going over the city right now.
Hey, that's all right, not, though. Dude, be careful talking about drones.
Yeah, that's a good
point. That story disappeared.
Yeah. Well, like I probably needed to.
I mean, maybe it's just because I've been like,
No idea.
The New Jersey drones.
They were like, drones all over the
place. Oh, I do remember. Wasn't that earlier last year or years ago? Like when they were talking about, you're talking about like car, right?
No, cars? like the drones that they had all over
drone
Jersey.
Story that was going like early December.
Like, yeah. I don't think it was early. I think it was like, I thought it was like the week before.
2 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah, anyway. That was a whole big thing. And I didn't know it either. My wife is deep into conspiracy theories, man. She was like, yeah, seen all these drones? I'm like, nah.
Hang out with Bo.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is like I've never been labeled a conspiracy theorist.
You told me one day.
Until the last year. Like the last year. And all of a sudden, I have... Well, that came true. Maybe they are. And now all of a sudden, everybody thinks I'm a conspiracy theorist.
No, you literally told me you were into conspiracy theories.
I know, but I've never been into it until recently, is what I'm saying.
And then Allie Mack, didn't she call you a conspiracy theorist?
Oh, she did, dude.
But
that was so epic.
The point, Tiffany's, what you're right on is, like, I never was until, like, the last year. And all of a sudden, I'm like... Well, maybe there's some truth to
maybe
some of
I
this
am.
Stuff.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah, the old Johnny Cash. Maybe I am.
Yeah.
So you guys had a good New Year's Eve.
Dude, had good New Year's Eve, good Christmas. Santa just absolutely unloaded at my house. Got it hooked up, and we had a good New Year's. Went and hung out with some friends yesterday. Watched some ball. A lot of good football on yesterday, and it was a good break. Been a good break. Batteries recharged. Obviously, I love my job. You guys know that, so I'm happy to be back here. But it was fun, man. It was cool to, you know, kids wake you up in the bed over the break, which is always fun for me. I don't get to experience that much. A lot of family time, man. But obviously, I missed you guys.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did?
I'm just kidding. No, we missed
roll
you
your
too.
Eyes at me.
We did. We missed you too.
Yeah, sure.
What do you mean? Uh-huh. Sure.
Yeah.
I don't say things I don't mean. Right. And I would have just put like a, if I said like a just kidding somewhere.
JK.
You know. Then
LOL.
Exactly. So I guess both still going to just stay
But what did Santa bring you?
So.
Oh, I got a hoodie.
There you go.
My brave hoodie. Nice. Brave hoodie. It was a good Christmas. Like I always like to take somebody, you know, I got the most random tweet I went to fire back, and I was like, I'm not going to address it, but now I think I will. Some guy tweeted at you and me and said, and here's the thing.
It's on Christmas?
It was, I think, the day after. I'm not a guy that calls players soft. I'm not a big fan of people that do. I think that you...
It's a big word.
Calling people soft, you can call people out for their effort and it's stuff, but I don't go around calling players soft because of what your body on the line. Not in the NFL, anyways. And some guy, and I think he tagged, he was like, you guys taking the week of Christmas off? Don't ever call a player soft again. Well, first of all, I've never called a player soft. And I'm sorry, sir, that I decided to take 4 days off. 4 days. But you know what? I'll remember how soft I am when I come in, you know, I'll ride off a red eye.
Sounds
and
like
walk
somebody
right in here.
That I probably already had muted.
Yeah.
I didn't see
possibility.
It.
I thought it was funny. So, but yeah, I like to take a few days off around Christmas. It gets me to recharge and hit the playoff run and get ready for the Daytona 500 and other things
Super
that are
Bowl
about to happen.
Up. Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
I had good family time, stayed in for New Year's. Went to sleep, which was glorious. Everything good on that front. I know, Mike, you mentioned that we had a lot of good games, a lot of college football being played, bowl games, and then, of course, the CFP game. So we did have some great matchups. And I know a lot of folks were looking forward to seeing Georgia's quarterfinal matchup against Notre Dame, the Sugar Bowl. But that was unfortunately postponed. Of course, the game not even – just you can't even think about the game, right? No. Because of the tragic events that happened in New Orleans on Bourbon Street when a man on New Year's Eve intentionally drove a pickup truck into a crowd of people, killing at least 15 and injuring dozens of others. It is being investigated as an act of terrorism by the FBI. So just awful news to wake up to for most people on January 1st when you see this. And I was in disbelief. You feel for the families of all those affected. And their lives are going to be forever changed now with the loss of their loved ones. And so I know we've all been to Bourbon Street. Everyone's partied down there before. And this is just, it's
terrifying.
Awful.
It's terrifying. And I see you got your Princeton shirt on today. I know there was a Princeton football player that came out, was one of the victims. There's an Alabama student came out, was one of the victims. I think it's just terrifying, to your point, Tiff, is like we've all been there. I've played in the Sugar Bowl before. I've had family on Bourbon Street. I can honestly say that if it had been Alabama and I had been playing down there, my family could have been some of the ones on Bourbon Street, and that's the scary part of it. So you're right. The football, just not at the forefront of the mind, and they made the right move by moving it back and doing all the things they did. Actually, Rusty was one of the first people that popped into my mind.
I texted him that morning when I woke up because I saw him, and he posted a photo of him and his daughter.
Yeah.
Down enjoying, you know, what everyone should have been able to enjoy that evening. And unfortunately, disgusting act of violence and terrorism, you know,
scary stuff. So I was glad to see him post that he was kind of checking in safe and doing some of his stuff. And he mentioned it in his post. He was like, and everybody's already, you know, always looking for the next piece of information from me. He's like, I don't have any.
Yeah.
This is what it is.
Well, and it was a lot of our Atlanta media.
Yeah,
family was
Rhea Martin,
was down there.
A couple posts from down there.
Yeah, and I mean, so it's awful, and it sounds like there was more that could have happened,
well,
but they were on top of it. So that's why the game had to be postponed. I got into it with some people yesterday, and this was the right thing. You can't play football. You don't understand, and I know you're going to hit some things that was found, but we forget how many public resources go in to holding an event, especially a bowl game, with where it's fire and rescue. Police, SWAT, they all are at those events that we all get to work a lot, Tiff, and you just don't realize how much needed to be taken away from that to do what they needed to do with the investigation to get back to it.
Yeah, and the decision to postpone, as you were just mentioning, still, you know, trying to grasp what happened, but officials are sweeping the scene. They did find two improvised explosive devices after the attack had happened. And so, yes, this is the right decision to make. The game has been pushed back to 4 p.m. Eastern. So that will happen on ESPN later on today. But, of course, our thoughts and prayers are with everybody affected by this.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just brutal. And Mike, you mentioned that it could have been, you know, if Alabama was playing or whatever, it could have been your family. It's crazy because I've been down there so many times. I mean, I go every year, and you know, I've been on Bourbon Street so many times down there, walking in a crowd, and you never think of anything like that. And I don't know about you guys, but I've been on Bourbon Street when you can barely walk at any point.
Yes, yeah.
And it's a miracle more people weren't hurt.
When we come back here on the morning shift, we will get you set for this matchup with Georgia and Notre Dame. We also will give you the latest on the Falcons. What do they need to do to try to secure those playoff chances? That is ahead here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This gave me Ultimate Dance Party 1997 disc vibes. For a second, I thought it was that song. Never mind.
Dance Revolution vibes of the arcade game.
Or that. But
this, where you're just...
yes. I had like the Ultimate Dance Party with those infomercials. Did you?
Oh, yeah.
The UC is like 97, 90, whatever. No, whatever reason, Ultimate Dance Party 97 constantly pops up.
Now that's what I call Music Volume 2.
Yeah. Or it's similar to that. Yes.
Get it now for only $19.99.
I had
and if you order now, within the next 30 minutes, you'll get a free bonus disc.
I had WWF, the album.
Oh, I did too. Yeah. Volume 2, I think.
Solid.
The one,
very, very solid.
The one that had like the Heartbreak Kids and DX and everything.
Yeah.
The late 90s.
Those were the Walls of Jericho. Like, yeah. So good. Yeah, so good.
Dude. Ugh.
Infomercials, man.
Well, that's like, we play a lot of Triple H's music on this like entrance music. There's a couple of songs, and it's Motorhead. It's Lemmy Kilster and Motorhead, and It's phenomenal. Like, I love it. I love some of that wrestling music. makes me a nerd. I don't care.
I'm the same way, dude.
I don't care. Whatever.
Well, we do have to get you set for Georgia and Notre Dame later on this afternoon. We'll do that. But first, these guys, I haven't seen y'all in a while. So we've got Falcons, Panthers on Sunday in a game that they must win. They also need some outside help from the Saints to try to beat the Bucs in order for the Falcons to try to get into the playoffs. So, but I know last week, or was it last week? It's like 2 weeks ago, whatever it was now. Time doesn't exist
anymore. Sunday?
The holidays.
Yeah, I don't know. 4 days ago.
You want to talk about the timeout that was it? Okay, cool.
No, yeah.
I know me and Dylan did a lot of that. We heard from a lot of people on Tuesday.
Let's just take a timeout and think really long and hard.
All right. Here's the deal. Look, and I've barely talked about it. Apparently, that's what we were talking about earlier. If you even mention that the head coach deserves to be here next year, apparently you're defending every decision, wrong or right, that he's ever made. I had no problem with the first half and the timeout that was or wasn't taken that apparently upset people. Because we'll address that one first, and we'll get to the second half one. But the one in the first half, I had no problem with it because what you were trying to do was burn the clock and put points on the board. I had this conversation with some neighbors and friends. It's third down. You have one. It's what third down? I think 12 or 10 or something. And you had a play. You had enough time for one play and a kick, a field goal, and you ran the play. And not blaming anyone, but the quarterback missed a wide open Drake London. It was right there in front of me.
Yeah.
He misses him. If he puts a little air in the ball, it's a touchdown, and the whole thing works out perfectly. It turns out that it still worked out because you still kicked a field goal and went up by 10 points and left no time on the clock. So it to me that worked. The one in the fourth quarter was a bad decision. I heard Raheem's explanation in the presser, and then I know he talked about it on the coach's show where he said, "Look, I didn't want Dan to be able to reset his personnel and call a play that would be basically unscouted and Penix would not see it." I understand it. Don't agree. You save the time because the ultimate thing is you get extra plays. If you go look at the next play, though, where they don't call the timeout, right, and they run up and they take a little bit too much time, If Penix could connect with an open Darnell Mooney on the out route, you're in field goal range there. And it's a big gain. It's even bigger than the pass interference.
Yeah.
Didn't work. And you should have saved the time. You should have gave yourself that moment. I think Raheem knows that. He's admitted that. He understands it was a mistake.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. And I think that, it's Thursday. There's no reason to harp on it too much. But I was with you. And you know, the toughest thing, and I've talked to you guys about this, going on post game, you know, just 2 minutes after all this has kind of happened in overtime and trying to digest, I'm trying to give Chris Goforth reasoning why I think that Raheem went that direction. And I'm like coming up with nothing. I'm like, dude, I have nothing for you. Like, I can see you can massage the facts at the end of the first half to your point of saying, don't want to give them back to back possessions. Jaden Danielson score from anywhere, whatever it may be. The one at the end of regulation, I'm going, dude, call the timeout. Call the timeout, blah, 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 and it just never happened. So it was unfortunate, and like I said, he'd love to have that one back. They did not hurry up to the line of scrimmage, to his point, but that's neither here nor there. They shouldn't have had to, and it's frustrating to watch, and I know it's frustrating for Falcons fans because Lord knows, heard from a lot of them in the last couple of days.
And I think one thing real quick should be said, it's not like they don't practice that. Like, it's not like they don't – Mike – you can attest to it as a guy that practice for 5 or 6 years in an NFL game. That literally, don't you end every practice doing almost every practice ending with a 2 minute version? I mean, I know at training camp every day.
Yeah, it's not necessarily 2 minute, but it's always some kind of no huddle red ball situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it could be 2 minute, could be end of half, could be a hurry up no huddle, could be a lot of different things.
So when Raheem says, "I thought our operation would go a little bit faster than that," he's not blaming the player. Like, get out of this cut and dry, white or black, wrong or right mindset. He's telling you how he thought it would go, and that's how he played out his head. You don't have to agree with the decision. I don't. I would have taken the time out because, you know, everybody I've talked to that played or coached is like, hey, time equals place. So you want as much time as you can because you know you got a few more plays. And knowing what Penix did it that in that fourth that one drive in this, they had three drives. If you, I guess technically four with the one where they went and missed a field goal, but they only had nine plays before the touchdown drive.
Yeah,
nine plays, a three and out and a six and out.
Yeah,
and
it's true.
For Penix to go down the field like he did and on and connect on not one but what two fourth downs?
Yeah,
you would have. I agree with the sentiment that take the time out. You have more plays because you've seen that he was able to stretch every play, right, and get something out of it. That was the thought process. Whether it was right or wrong, it was wrong. I think we know that. That's the way it played out. But it doesn't mean fire everyone. The last thing you want to do, and this is the last thing I'm going to say on it, everyone always yells at us, why don't players want to come here and play? Well, What are they coming here for? They're going to come here, and then you want to fire the coach after 1 year? They're going to come here, and you're going to reset how many times with new coaching staffs? Well, you don't fire one guy. You fire a whole building, essentially, when you do that. And human beings don't like – they don't want to go through change. They're not going to go to places where you can – basically, it's a turnover every year or two. That's why – players rarely go to teams like the Jets.
Yeah, my favorite back and forth on the socials after Sunday, because obviously I'm doing the post game. People are tweeting me. I'm kind of tweeting back, responding to people. My favorite one was, they should have hired Bill Belichick. Raheem has already proven that he's not a winner, and this just further proves that. And I was like, Bill Belichick had a 450 winning percentage in Cleveland, and then he got hired in New England and went 5-11 in year one. Do you see the similarities here? I mean, I'm not trying to say that Raheem's going to turn into Bill Belichick, but they didn't fire him when he was 5-11 in year one, and I'm sure there was plenty of people in New England saying, the guy stunk in Cleveland, why'd we hire him here? You get it turned around because you believe in the process and you believe in, you know, who you hired. So I'm not covering up for what Raheem's clock management was. It's just ridiculous to kind of say that they're going to fire him after that.
And somebody said had the same conversation. And Tiff, I think you were maybe even covering the Falcons. And I said, well, yeah, a lot of people told me that Kyle Shanahan should have been fired after 2015 as well as the OC because he wasn't good enough. And Matt Ryan struggled at times and all this. And look what 2016 turned into, one of the top five offenses of all time in the NFL. With Kyle Shanahan running it. Again, not saying this is the same. And then it's funny the things people remember because one guy said, yeah, but he embarrassed Roddy White. He didn't embarrass Roddy White. Like Roddy White was a guy that was aging out, and it just came to the forefront under Kyle. And Kyle's, you know, and they're like, yeah, but he threw at him three times in one game and then just to shove it to the media. Yeah, he was just shutting people up because they hear things. We can't overreact. If everyone in the existence got fired every time they made one mistake at their job, there'd be a lot of turnover in the world, and a lot of things wouldn't get accomplished.
No, I agree with that. Well, at least the big positive that you can take out of Sunday's loss is the performance of Michael Penix and what you saw. You brought up the late-game drive, and then, of course, he had the game-tying touchdown pass to Kyle Pitts. I'm trying to find the right word here, but he played well. I'll sum it up like that.
Yeah, he looked
a good showing for just his second start.
It was
road game.
There was a little bit of Jekyll and Hyde until that final drive from me because I thought, or final two drives, I thought he missed some throws.
Definitely.
Some deep throws that
probably would have been touchdowns.
Yes. Yeah. The Drake play at the end of the first half.
To Bijan.
Yeah, the Bijan, Will route. Yeah, it's a good call, Tess. It's a very good one. Where he just a little bit of touch. I asked Arch and I said, "Hey, is that an experience thing?" And he said, "Well, it's probably a little bit of rust, a little bit of timing, just putting air." But that touchdown drive, dude. You want to talk about looking like you've been there and done that? And it's great to say, yeah, he did it at Washington. That's great. This is an NFL moment. Again, it's an NFL defense.
And his throw, like the zip he's putting on his passes, that was.
To both of y'all's point, I was watching this whole game right here in the studio, and I'm watching it going, Cousins would have made that throw. I'm like kind of looking at it through that lens. And you should never do that, but that's kind of how I was watching. Cousins would have made that throw. Cousins might have made that throw. And then at the end, when he starts putting zip on it and throwing it, like, you know, we've talked about the velocity in Kirk Cousins' balls. At the end, especially the throw to Kyle Pitts, I'm going, Kirk wouldn't have made that throw. Like, no, Kirk would not have made that throw. He wouldn't have made that throw, and he wouldn't have made that throw, and he'd probably been sacked right there. So it's funny, you kind of have this kind of counterbalance where you go back and forth and say, the offense, to your point, I thought some of the outward-breaking routes lacked timing, lacked consistency. I thought Michael Penix overthrew a couple of them, be it too deep on the field or too far towards the sideline or whatever. It felt like there was a little bit of frustration building to the point where you're like, man, like I thought he would hit that one. I thought he'd hit that one. And then you get further into the game, and you watch him begin to come along, and you remember the fact that this is a rookie in his first road start. Think of all the things, and I don't know if you guys noticed it, and obviously y'all probably did, the cadence stuff, the snap that hit him in the chest that he almost fumbled, the motion where they almost got taken out by the head bob snap in the center. Some of the stuff you don't think about. We think about throws for quarterbacks. Some of the stuff you don't think about, the operational stuff, was shaky to start the game. And he ended up in the end kind of moving through it, watching tape, working around it, and getting to a point where he could throw some strikes.
I thought snaps were off all night, even at the end of the game when they went back to the Wildcat and it just went over Bijan's head. The throw to Drake London, and I think it was the first fourth down conversion on that final that drive for the touchdown. That's what an out route, and that's all timing. I mean, he threw the ball before Drake came out of his break. Phenomenal throw. The throw to Kyle Pitts, I was telling Mike earlier, that's on the other end of the stadium where our booth is, but it happened so fast, like as far as ball leaving hand to hitting Kyle Pitts in the chest, it was ridiculous how quick that play happened with the throw. That was an amazing throw.
More Falcons on the way, but up next, we had a blowout and an overtime thriller for the ages. College football playoff action on the other side when we come back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, in our 8 o'clock hour, we've got Rusty Manziel joining us from the Sugar Bowl, which will go down today between Notre Dame and UGA. But we had some college football playoff action yesterday, and it did not disappoint at all, especially the Texas and Arizona State game in overtime as Texas came back to win it 39-31. But Cam Scadaboo really just made a name for himself. I thought he had been already, but this just solidified him as one of the best running backs in college football. He had 42 passing yards, 143 rushing yards, 99 receiving yards, one touchdown pass, and two rushing TDs. He was vomiting on the sideline.
Ugh.
He was getting fluids. He was frustrated during the game. He backed up his talk, though. I know he was kind of running his mouth, jawing off a little bit before this game, talking about how he can't be stopped. And he did prove to be right.
He's an emotional player.
I love it.
You know, he got up at one point and shoved his own teammate because they couldn't block for him. You know, he didn't like the blocking.
We had to go.
It was a
me and him would have had to go.
Well, it was. You know what the funny thing was? He shoved a blocking tight end who was lined up on one of Texas's better defensive linemen, which was.
Why would they do that? That's what they kept talking about throughout the game.
It was kind of a. It was. I mean, I'm not trying to be that guy, but it was kind of a ridiculous scheme to kind of put there on that that situation. But anyways, you know, he yelled at coaches at times. But then he just plays his butt off, and Texas had their safeties. I think is it Tiafu, the safety. He is like, yeah, we're gonna show him that we know how to we can tackle in the back end, because I know he likes to embarrass guys when they try to tackle him, and he put Tiafu on the ground at one point. He came out with a stinger when he tried to tackle Scadaboo. That game looked like it was gonna be a blowout until the fourth quarter, and then they made a little – Texas allowed
– Let them hang around.
I had some deliveries coming in yesterday. I was watching the game. I would fire up YouTube on my phone, get in the elevator, go down, get what I need to get, come back up, because I was like, I can't turn this off. I can't miss a play from this matchup.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. That game was, I think, the most fun game so far.
It's been the best game by far.
Playoff. Oh, yeah. And so watching that – and look, man, Scadaboo is funny. I've played with and played against guys like that, where you hate playing against them, but you love when they're your teammate. It's just he's just that kind of guy. You're like, dude, this guy won't shut up. I hate playing against this guy. He won't stop running his mouth. And then when he's your teammate, he feels like a leader. Like, he's the emotional heartbeat of the team, where you're like, yeah, tell him, Scataboo. Tell him how you feel. I love it, man, because he plays with obviously a ton of passion. You don't start to look like he looks without a ton of hard work, right, that's been put in, and the balance that he has. I wonder what the future for him does look like at the next level. I don't know that he's a running back, but I don't think anybody's going to tell him he's not a running back. I don't know. I don't know what that looks like. But, man, he's been a lot of fun to watch. And you mentioned it. Texas comes straight out the gate, and it's like, dude, you can see the difference in athletes from top to bottom immediately. And then Arizona State was like, nah. And, you know, get a couple of big stops, get a couple of fourth down conversions, hang around, and the end of the game, come back, and they're able to do it, and he powers his way into the end zone. So it was awesome. I loved watching that game. It was the highlight of the playoff, obviously, so far for me.
Then we had the lopsided matchup between Ohio State and Oregon, who was the top seed in all of this, and they got upset, and they got beat really, really bad. If you remember Oregon's first Big Ten matchup as being a member of the conference against Ohio State, it did not end well for Ohio State. They lost by 1 point, 32-31. There was kind of the trickery by Dan Lanning and some clock management stuff that they were able to pull that one off. So Ohio State, coming into this matchup, they remembered that all too well. They carried it with them. Here's Coach Ryan Day.
I think our guys came out with an edge. They've been that way for a while. And, you know, when you come out of a game like that, it hurts and it you know, it stings. And after that game, we talked about how over the next 6 to 7 to 8 weeks, it's going to be about who gets better. Who gets better every single week. Nothing flashy about it. I feel like our guys acted that way and it came out and played that way today.
Tell you what, there might be three or four opponents. It could be at the end of the day that have some words for Michigan and their flag planting, because it seemed to light a fire under Ohio State, because they have looked like a completely different team.
And I'm sorry, I didn't even say the score. It was 41-21, but that was after Oregon staged kind of a late comeback, which was not fulfilled.
No, Ohio State has looked like a completely different team. They didn't at any point to me this season look this good as they've looked against Tennessee and Oregon.
I was going to say the last two games. Like everybody thought they would all.
Oregon had negative 23 yards rushing.
Yeah.
They went the other way. Dylan Gabriel.
Jeremiah Smith went off. Sorry.
In the NFL, sacks count against your passing yardage. In college football, they count against rushing. Dylan Gabriel was credited with 12 carries for 43 negative yards. Yeah. That is unbelievable.
Yeah,
they were dominant. Yeah, you said Smith went off.
Yeah.
Tiff, Will Howard played phenomenal. Egbuka, look, I had a couple of big time plays yesterday. Trayvon Henderson, they just complete. I don't know. In any area of the game where they didn't just dominate.
It's so funny, dude, because going into the year, we talked about Ohio State. We talked about the NIL money being put in. We talk about make or break for Ryan Day, and this is probably the most talented roster in the country. And they get Caleb Downs, and they get all these other players that they've brought in, and they've made roster changes, and that, you know, they need to make a run. And multiple times, obviously, you know, Michigan a few weeks ago and throughout the season, you're looking at them going, they're not going to do it. They're not going to make the run. Like, you know, everybody's wondering if Ryan Day is going to get booed on his home field during the playoffs. And my goodness, if they didn't show up yesterday and look like everything you thought they would throughout the season, they're honestly, from what I've seen the last time all these teams have been out, they feel like they're on a tier of their own right now.
That's what it looked like. And then, of course, on New Year's Eve, you had Penn State defeating Boise State 31-14. But this was a matchup in which I thought Boise was in this game. They kind of shot themselves in the foot on a couple different occasions, I think would have changed the outcome of this one.
Yeah. The Boise, obviously, Ashton Jeanty, all the things that he's able to do. And he did. He had a decent day. It was, you know, it was like it felt like it was all they could get going at some points in the game. But they played a gritty brand of football. I know they kept it closer than probably the final score throughout. Yeah. I think it was a 10-point game for most of the game, right there in the meat of it.
Like they would get right there, and then Penn State's defense stopped them at the goal line, I believe it.
And that's kind of been Penn State all year, right? Yeah. That's kind of been what Penn State is. They do just enough defensively, just enough offensively, and then in the end they score a touchdown and kind of pull away, and that's been kind of Penn State's calling card through most of the season. So shout out to Penn State, getting it done, man. Move on to the next round. And I think right now, no matter what happens, I would say Penn State fans are pretty happy with the season they've had. And I think they, obviously those players and those coaches had their sights set higher.
Well, they're one win away from a national title game. And you've had a coach that has been – now, look, they've gotten a little bit of a sweetheart seating and bracket so far.
Sure.
But this is a coach that is known for, like – when in big games his team doesn't step up, and they've had two big games and they have stepped up, and Warren has been phenomenal, the tight end.
He's so good.
I told you he was. Remember when you asked me who the player I was most excited for? I said Tyler Warren. He is phenomenal.
The ball well. He's
dude, he can throw it too. You talked about Skidaboo, but Warren can throw it too. I thought Drew Aller might have played his best game as a college player against Boise. I thought he looked good with his reads and his throws. What's gonna be funny is when the Final Four is all settled, you're gonna have four blue bloods. It's gonna be Georgia or Notre Dame playing Penn State in the Orange Bowl, and you're gonna have the Cotton Bowl is gonna have Texas and Ohio State, and it's going to look on paper, it's going to look in the end just like you thought it might.
Well, you know what there is to that, which is funny. This system would have been so much more prone to Cinderellas without NIL and transfer portal. And we've talked about the parity in the ICC and the parity around the country, but in the end, it feels like the teams that are paying money, right? Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, like a lot of those, the cream is rising to the top.
Well, there's too many teams in it. 12 teams is too many. We've had one good game. We might get another one. But
I don't think he'd mind me saying this, but I had an HBCU Classic basketball game. That was – I can't even remember what day this is, honestly, guys. But that was the last thing I just did for CBS, and I work with Clark Kellogg. And one of the things he had talked about was how, yes, this was similar to like a March Madness format, but what do you see in a lot of the basketball games? Sometimes there are blowouts.
Yeah.
Like,
There's a lot.
It happens.
Well, people think that the March Madness system works better because you have upsets. And I'm like, it's not in the first round. But to your point, Tiff, when you get to the Sweet 16, and there's a team that has somehow made it, they normally, not all the time, but normally they get blown out. There's not parity. College football's not set up for parity.
No, and I don't disagree with you on that. So Georgia and Notre Dame play this afternoon at 4:00 Eastern. And again, as you mentioned, Bo, the winner of that game will take on Penn State in the Orange Bowl, which will be a week from today. We do have Rusty Manziel joining us in our 8:00 hour from New Orleans, so you're going to want to stay tuned for that. So when we come back here, the Falcons need some help from their NFC South rival. Are you going to be a Saints fan this weekend? I don't know. Maybe. They need it. They need the help. We'll be right back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.